Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kirvu. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're going to be talking about the NFL draft. We were supposed to have Mississippi State safety Nico Whitley join us on the phone this morning. We've been promoting that on social media. Unfortunately, we couldn't connect with Nico yet, but as usually happens on the show, he does have our number. He might happen to call during the course of the show. So we'll keep the phone lines open for Nico Whitley to join us until he does. Let's talk some Packers football. I think one of the big things that happened over the course of the past 2 days since our last episode on Monday, on Monday afternoon, the Packers released running back Orwin Smith a week into the team's offseason program. Perhaps a little bit of odd timing, you might guess. You know, why did they sign him to a futures contract and, you know, after the season ended, if they were just going to cut him a few months later? Before the NFL draft here, just a week into the conditioning program, you wonder, maybe he didn't show up to the Packers offseason program in shape, or maybe once they saw him, they just realized, you know what, he's not talented enough. He's not going to make the roster this year. Let's just make a move now. We can sign another running back during the NFL draft. I'm just speculating here, but it was a little bit of odd timing. I thought perhaps a week into the team's off-season training program. But, probably more than anything, Orwin Smith was a casualty of a deep offensive backfield in Green Bay. Orwin Smith was a guy who was signed to the practice squad mid-season last year. I think it happened perhaps in November, and he stayed there the rest of the season. And then after the season was over, then he signed the futures contract with the Packers. Who is he behind in the rotational depth in Green Bay? He's behind Eddie Lacy. He's behind Jonathan Franklin. He's behind DeJuan Harris. He's behind James Starks. He's behind John Kuhn. He's behind Michael Hill. That's tough. That's a tough group to break into. I mean, a lot of people have said that the Packers have one of the best offensive backfields in the NFL, pretty much. That's kind of been a prevailing sentiment ever since they kind of re-signed James Starks this offseason. Obviously, you've got Eddie Lacy. He's now kind of the unquestioned starter, the workhorse back, the reigning NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, all those things. Eddie Lacy's the man, and he's going to be getting the majority of the snaps. Kind of the thing that comes next is, can he be a three-down player? Can he be out there from first down through third down, things like that? It's kind of the big question with him. He wasn't always that last year. He could. But I suppose, you know, maybe a guy like John Kuhn was more trusted in pass protection, and that's when Eddie Lacy came off the field a lot of times. So can Eddie Lacy become, the three-down back? Behind him, probably the number two guy, James Starks, another big bruising back, a guy who averaged over 5 yards per carry this past season. James Starks really had a good year, and perhaps it was because he wasn't the featured guy. He wasn't the number one back. Maybe the pressure was off a little bit, or kind of provides a change of pace from Eddie Lacy. I don't know. They're kind of the same pace, to tell you the truth. They're both the big bruising between the tackles types. Not that they can't go outside the tackles, but, you know, they're both big guys who are going to run through you, not around you. I don't think you necessarily need to have contrasting styles for your top two backs. They both get the job done rather well. James Starks is back. Then you've got the scat backs, the lightning to the thunder. You've got Jonathan Franklin. In fact, just did that video analysis. If you scroll down here at Cheesehead TV, Down below, if you're watching the show live, you can see the video analysis, some of Jonathan Franklin's college football action, and him doing an absolutely bang-up job. It's from the 2012 Pac-12 championship game against Stanford, and a very good Stanford defense that season. Jonathan Franklin running for 194 yards. And you saw glimpses of that this past season in Green Bay with Franklin. You saw him, he took over, I think it was the Bengals game, right? Eddie Lacy gets hurt, John Kuhn gets hurt, and Franklin steps in and he runs for over 100 yards and really shows he's got that quickness, he's got that juke to him. He showed what he can be, what he has the potential to be, but really didn't put it all together. Had some ball protection issues, had a few fumbles that kind of got him in the doghouse a little bit. But just a rookie though. You understand a little bit. It takes time for rookies to kind of get acclimated to the NFL where everything's magnified, and all of a sudden you have one fumble and you're kind of in the doghouse, and you know, all of a sudden Jonathan Franklin, if he'd have one fumble in college, well, he's still the man. There nothing happened in there, but you got one fumble in the NFL and you're moved down the pecking order. It can happen like that, just that quickly. Not that anybody's giving up on him or anything like that, but, you know, still some time to, still ways to develop for Jonathan Franklin. Then you've got DeJuan Harris, injured reserve this past season in 2013, the whole year, started training camp and then kind of had, what was it, a knee issue? Was it a meniscus? I'm not sure I have that correctly. I forget off the top of my head. I know it was some sort of knee issue. On top of that, you know, he had the growth removed from his chest as well, non-cancerous. But so he's had some health issues. But you saw the previous season, the 2012 season, when he was healthy, how James Starks, DeJuan Harris could also be a very good complementary back. Has that quickness, has just enough power to get by. Didn't he end up having a 100-yard rushing game or something like that in 2012? When the Packers run game was really kind of ailing there, they've got no one to turn to, guys were hurt. And DeJuan Harris kind of stepped in and saved the day a little bit towards the end of the season, did very well, and hopefully he gets back to that level. Now he's had an entire offseason to get healthy. You hope he's kind of there and he can stick around and get back to what he once was. And so, I mean, you add all those guys. I mean, all those guys are going to be pushing for roster spots. That's four halfbacks right there. Lacy, Starks, Franklin, Harris. That isn't to mention John Kuhn, who kind of, you know, serves in, you know, he's a fullback, but he's also a running back because he's back there on the one-back sets on third downs. The kind of guy who's Aaron Rodgers' personal protector, who can be a short yardage, goal line type of back. John Kuhn just fills so many roles. I mean, he's just another guy back there. Not to say John Kuhn is a guy stealing a roster spot from a guy like Orwin Smith, but, you know, he's part of the equation. John Kuhn fills so many roles and does many of them well. Running the football isn't necessarily at the top, but still a member of the backfield and a member of the Packers' 53-man roster, very likely to be this upcoming season. Then you've got Michael Hill as well. I mean, here we talk about all these guys expected to be on the roster, but there's a reason they signed Michael Hill in the offseason as well. Remember the guy the Packers signed last year, got a little bit of a cup of coffee last year during the 2013 season. He was playing on special teams, returned a few kicks. And then all of a sudden, you know, they put him back on the practice squad and then lost him. The Buccaneers signed him where he ended the year. But the Buccaneers released him in the offseason. The Packers signed him back. And now they're hoping he's, you know, they saw some talent with Michael Hill. I'm not sure they're fully sold on it yet or fully, You know, I'm not sure they think he's fully realized all his talent, but they want to take a gander, want to take a look. And, of course, you never know when injuries can happen. All of a sudden, James Starks, Eddie Lacy, knock on wood, get injured. And then you've got a guy like Michael Hill to back him up. And again, that's not to mention, you know, anybody the Packers add during the NFL draft or as an undrafted free agent afterwards. I highly doubt the Packers are going to spend anything more than a late round draft choice at best on a running back. I mean, I don't think anybody will mind if they simply bypass the running back position totally in the NFL draft. But I suppose you can't rule out a late round draft choice. And look at this. We do have a phone call coming in. Let's check it out. Hello, you're joining Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, how you doing? Nico Whitley.
Nico, thank you for joining us this morning. We're glad to talk to you. Let's get right to it here. You're a prospect for the NFL draft, Nico, and you had the injury this past year, but I want to know, how is the recovery going from the torn ACL?
Well, it's just going real good. I feel pretty good. I feel like I'm ready to get back in now. It's going real good.
So for those of you who don't know, Nico can correct me if I'm wrong, but he knew he had a torn ACL and continued to play with it from week three onward to the end of the regular season. Nico, what went into the decision to put off surgery so long?
Well, I actually tore the last play of the first half or the first game. And I missed the second game and came back the third game, but
okay.
I just had been through so much with my team and just through so many hard workouts, and I just couldn't give up on life. I couldn't stop playing that early in the season. Just, I knew it was going to tear anyway, so I just kept playing on.
Do you regret putting the surgery off now that kind of the NFL is in front of you and you could have had maybe more time to recover from this?
No, I don't have any regrets. God will work it out. We got plenty to work out. I don't have any regrets, but I think it'll work out for the best.
So this all begs the question. I mean, how did you play at such a high level with the torn ACL? You had a career-high 5 interceptions and earned all-conference honors. How did you do it with the injury?
I just had to get in the film room and just really pay attention to what was going on and pay attention to my opponent and learn how to play a little slower because I couldn't move and react this fast. And we had to do a lot of studying. It was a lot of pain.
By putting off surgery, you played a big role in games with the forced fumbles and big wins against Arkansas and Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl. Was that what putting off surgery was all about, to come through in big games like that?
Yeah, that's why I say I don't really have any regrets about it, because I think it worked out for the best for me and my team, and I think everything played out good. So.
Now, as I understand it, you've already graduated with a bachelor's degree, and you're working on a master's next month. How have you been able to accomplish that in such a short time frame?
Yeah, I got my bachelor's in 3.5 years. I'm through the master program now. I just got my letter last week saying I passed my test. I'm just waiting on graduation now. But there's a lot of hard work, really, just staying in books and staying in the room and making sure I get the class every day.
We're talking to Nico Whitley, Mississippi State safety and an NFL draft prospect here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Nico, I'm going to bring up a situation, not because I want to bring up bad memories, but because I'm sure, you know, NFL teams investigate into character and things like that. In the Kentucky game this past season, you were ejected after 2 personal foul penalties. And I just want to know, what might you tell an NFL team about that incident?
The first one comes from a little smack talk between me and another guy, but the second time, it looked bad, but it really wasn't my intention of being bad. I was really pushing for the ball, and I thought the ball was there, but it wasn't, and I ended up punching another player like in the side of his shoulder pad or something like that, but it's just a bad situation.
Now, this being a Green Bay Packers show, you had a private workout for the Packers and a few other teams a little more than a week ago. How did that go?
It went real good. I felt pretty good moving around the ring. And you can tell that I had been working hard by the workout, so I think it went real good.
How much were you able to do? Were there things where you're still limited? You know, what drills were you able to do?
Well, I didn't do everything, but I did everything that they wanted to see to show that I wasn't limping or failing on my leg or that my knee was ready to get back up and going and working.
When will you be ready to practice again full on? When will you be able to put on the pads? What's the goal?
From talking to my doctors and training, they say I should be ready by the end of this month, by the end of this April now. So May, the end of May, I should be ready.
So you expect
to go full speed again.
You join an NFL team, you'll be able to take part in OTAs, mini camp, those kind of things?
That's the plan right now. That's how I'm looking right now.
Very good. That's impressive. What are you hearing from teams, scouts? Are you hearing you'll be drafted, or will they be holding off because of the injury? What are you hearing?
Well, I really just didn't let my agents handle that because I really don't really ask questions about it. Just wait and see what happens. Whatever. God has the best thing for me, man. I'm just waiting to see.
I can respect that. Have you made visits to any NFL teams? Do they want to put you through a physical, those kind of things?
I really just got cleared, but that was my first just workout for a team so far. It was last week.
Did you talk to any Packers scouts, discussions? I know they were at your workout the other day.
Yeah, I talked to a couple prior to that day.
I mean, what's your reaction to a team like the Green Bay Packers, the history that's there, Lambeau Field, cold weather? Would you like to play in a place like Green Bay?
I would love to play that. That's like everybody's dream to play in that stadium. Be able to play there every home game, that'll be a dream come true.
Very good. Well, Nico, we wish you all the best of luck. Good luck continuing getting back from your injury, from your surgery. I wanted to have you on because I think you're an underrated prospect that people are overlooking simply because of an injury. I think you're going to come back and be a heck of a player. But we thank you for taking the time to call into the show and talking to us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Nico Whitley, Mississippi State Safety, joining us here on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Appreciate him calling back, taking the time to call into the show, and wish him the best of luck with the upcoming NFL draft. Talking about the NFL draft here, I wanted to have Nico Whitley on because I think he's an underrated guy. Cheesehead TV's draft guide, I have him as the number 9 overall prospect at the safety position. I guarantee you, you're not going to find Nico Whitley rated higher anywhere else on the planet, probably. I don't know, maybe you can, but looking at some of the respected NFL draft sites that are out there, I haven't seen Nico Whitley rated that highly anywhere else because I think he's got this injury issue, and I should mention he also has a ruptured Achilles suffered back in the 2011 season. But he's already come back from that and played at a high level after that. So that doesn't worry me too much because he's come back and he's played well. But he's coming back from this ACL surgery, which, you know, understandably is a setback. Anybody that would go through that injury would, you know, go through the same thing. And but, I mean, it's nothing new either. I mean, how many people do you know have an ACL injury that play professional sports, professional football? There's plenty of them. I think, you know, teams aren't going to obviously spend a high-round draft choice on a guy like Nico Whitley. But I think, you know, they should consider perhaps a late-round draft choice. And I think he would be an ideal undrafted free agent, a priority type of guy who this guy is a starting caliber player who you could get, you know, potentially as an undrafted free agent. It might be slow at the beginning. I mean, you might not expect him to contribute right away. It might be a thing where, you know, it's just, you know, working on coming back from injury the entire offseason, the entire training camp. And, you know, he might be a kind of guy that's not active on game days right away as he, you know, just continues to learn and get stronger as time goes on. But then, you know, maybe a little bit into the year, all of a sudden he's a contributor and could be a starter down the road. I think that's within him. I think he's a great player. Go YouTube Nico Whitley and look at his highlights. And again, I mean, it's, you don't get everything from watching highlights. You know, there's you watch these highlight videos and they neglect the lowlights. But I mean, just watch the highlights of Nico Whitley and you see the talent. You see the starting caliber talent. He's got terrific hands. He makes so many leaping grabs. I think he's got the hands of a wide receiver. John on the live blog says he basically would redshirt a year. Yeah, I mean, that's what it could be for a guy like Nico Whitley. But, I hope the Packers are kind of taking notice of him and maybe considering selecting him, signing him, whatever it might be. Because, you know, obviously a need at the safety position in Green Bay, huge need at the safety position, that arguably the number one need, and you know, could sign 2-3 guys at the position and find some real good talent for down the road. So, again, thanks to Nico Whitley for joining us and, you know, kind of continuing the NFL draft talk here on the show today. One of the other items that came out recently is that the Packers brought in for an official visit, as reported by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and reporter Tom Silverstein, they brought in Pittsburgh quarterback Tom Savage, who is kind of a rising name in draft circles. And we talked about him with Scott Wright on the show. About a week ago we had Scott Wright of NFLDraftCountdown.com. Tom Savage, his agent let leak that he was invited to the NFL draft. You know, I think the NFL invited 30 guys. You know, they come out and they hold up the jersey in New York City and those kind of things. But they don't invite those guys if they're a third day draft choice for the most part. I don't know if they've ever had a guy drafted on the third day who's out there holding up his jersey. They don't want those guys sitting in the green room forever and having this attention on them. And, you know, when are they going to get selected? Tom Savage, he's kind of been a late rising guy where you thought at one point, yeah, he is a day three draft choice. But now, like, the more teams learn about him, the more, you know, you kind of investigate, you watch film, you kind of see the potential he has. And the word on Tom Savage is a strong arm, arguably the strongest arm in the NFL draft class. And you know, obviously, strong arm isn't everything in the NFL. You've got to be more well-rounded than that. A strong arm itself doesn't overcome bad decision-making, doesn't overcome accuracy, you know, those kind of things. So there's things, you know, Tom Savage himself has to overcome at the next level. But, you know, here the Packers are. They went through the fiasco last season at the backup quarterback position. You know, they cut all these guys in training camp, and then they're sitting with Seneca Wallace as their backup for you know, the beginning of the season till Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, and then all of a sudden Rodgers gets hurt, and then they're scrambling. You know, Wallace gets hurt, and then they go through Scott Tolzien and sign Matt Flynn. And Matt Flynn brought some stability, no doubt about it, but it was trouble getting to the point where Matt Flynn played for the Packers. And so now they're, you know, it appears the Packers aren't willing to let this happen again. They've signed Matt Flynn as a free agent. They're bringing back Scott Tolzien because he's got some good raw tools, but they're heavily, heavily investigating the quarterback position this off season in the run up to the NFL draft. You can tell that, you know, they're not about to, you know, select a first round draft choice as a quarterback and probably not even a day two type of guy, but day three, they are investigating these guys. Tom Savage, they've brought four of them in for official visits, as reported by various outlets. You know, in addition to Tom Savage, David Fales of San Jose State, Keith Wenning of Ball State, the other Brock Jensen of North Dakota State, the report that they've interviewed Connor Shaw of South Carolina. They are doing their due diligence to figure out who these day three guys are, because it almost seems as if the Packers are destined to select a day three quarterback. I mean, I would put money on it that the Packers will select a quarterback on day three. Not day one, not day two, and they're not going to wait until undrafted free agency. I would put money that the Packers will draft a QB on day three. Now, I don't know who that name is yet. There's certainly plenty of options, and we've seen the Packers have investigated and interviewed several of them. But, you know, that it seems, you know, they've brought these somewhat big name guys in. You know, maybe not all of them big names, but I mean, guys who have participated in the All-Star Game circuit. David Fales was at the Senior Bowl. Keith Wenning was at the East-West Shrine Game, things like that. So there's a lot, you know, to look into here. Tom Savage, guy who's bounced around a lot in college, and that doesn't, you know, necessarily that isn't necessarily a feather in his cap. Let's say he started off his career at Rutgers, transfers to Arizona, never plays at Arizona, and then transfers to Pittsburgh, where he spends his senior season only. And, of course, you can kind of draw the connection with Pittsburgh. That's where Mike McCarthy is from. He actually coached at Pittsburgh early in his coaching career. So there's kind of that little bit of connection there. The Wisconsin connection with Tom Savage learning from Paul Chryst, the former Wisconsin coach. But anyway, you know, Tom Savage bounces around. Has a good season, though, at Pittsburgh his senior year. Not a great season by any means, but, you know, they gets the team bowl eligible and gets to a bowl game and you know, has a good touchdown to interception ratio, especially with considering, you know, working with a new receiving core, working behind a new offensive line. It didn't take too long for things to gel, and maybe it wasn't perfect there, but, you know, Tom Savage, a good guy on the rise to look into, and I can see why the Packers are doing so, why they would look into him, things like that. So, but anyway, that's where we stand here on a Wednesday morning, just a little over a week from the start of the NFL draft next Thursday. So we're getting close. It's taken a long time this offseason, but we're finally reaching the finish line here, not too far away. In fact, tomorrow, Ted Thompson press conference on Thursday, and he does this every year, annual pre-draft press conference. We'll be kind of waiting for that, see what he has to say. It's not like he's going to give any secrets, but who knows? Ted Thompson can at least be entertaining at sometimes, sometimes unintentionally, but entertaining nonetheless. But that'll do it for today's episode here on a Wednesday at Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you again to Nick O'Whitley, the Mississippi State safety, for calling into the show. We'll talk to you later, folks. I'm Brian Caribou on behalf of Jamie Snowden. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Colliding by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records off their brand new released album on Tuesday. Go check it out. String Cheese Incident, folks. See you later. Go Pack. Go Pack.